Excuse me, this is the operator. I just need to inform all participants today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you, Lori. Would you like me to do a roll call for you, Julie?
Yes, please, Gwen.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the LOC domain name call on the 7th of February. And on the line, we have Paul Diaz, Laurie Anderson, Barbara Knight, Randy Ferguson, Joy Lidicott, Lisa Garono, Michele Nilon, Konstantinos Komatis, Victoria McEvedy, and Ken Stubbs. We are trying to dial out to Wilson Abigaba, but his line seems to be busy. We have apologies just from Marika Koenix, and Julie is taking her place. And are there any other apologies that have not been noted? With that, we have Julie Headland and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais. And with that, I hand over to you, Konstantinos and Michele. Thank you.
Thank you very can you hear me now? Thank you very much, Glenn. I actually think that, you know, Michele should take on this call as the chair. I am the vice chair, so I will be going back to Michele on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Konstantinos. I will murder you quietly later. Because one of us was giving a talk on the other side of the country a couple of hours ago, and it wasn't you. Good evening, everybody. First of all, as we've done the roll call, these statements of interest, has everybody got a statement of interest up on the wiki at this stage? Glenn or Julie, do you know?
I believe that everybody's statement of interest is up on the wiki. Michele, thank you.
Okay, perfect. And the usual thing is at the beginning of any call, we have to check to make sure that if anybody has any changes to make them. And for the record, I have to say that I have to update mine slightly, and I'll get round to it when I remember my login details. Apologies. In terms of housekeeping, at the last call, which most of you were at, Konstantinos and myself volunteered as co-chairs. It's not a matter of a chair and a vice chair, it is co-chairing, Konstantinos. To date, nobody else has put themselves forward. So if anybody has any opposition to us being the chairs, please let us know. Any takers? Going once? Going twice? No? Okay. Next item of business. The charter template, which we were looking at this in the last meeting, which I think was that 2 weeks ago, or am I losing my mind? I think it was 2 weeks ago. So the charter template, basically we kind of covered this a little bit in the last call. It's a template. There's bits and pieces in that we can fill out as a drafting team. There's other bits which we won't be filling out until the actual thing goes through the council. The basic stuff is, you know, the name of the group. At the moment, it's a bit of a mouthful. So locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings PDP working group is the working title. I think somebody suggested on the last call that was a bit of a mouthful. So if somebody has a suggestion for a shorter name or a better name, please do share. Any takers? No, I'll take that as a no. Well, I did have to try. Okay, the chartering organization is the GNSO. That's pretty straightforward. I think for some people, if we haven't done that many ICANN working groups, one of the things I mentioned in the last call is if anybody has any issues and doesn't understand what these various acronyms mean, please either ask, either interrupt me or Konstantinos or whoever. Or if you don't want to interrupt us and just want to find out quietly, feel free to poke either ourselves or the charming ICAD staff via email. So the charter approval date, then you've got the name of the working group chair. Obviously, we don't know that. Name of the appointed liaisons. Again, we wouldn't know that. And then there's other bits there like workspace URL, mailing list, et cetera, et cetera. So all those things would be completed as part of the GNSO process. So here, excuse me, what I think was Marika put together a first draft, which is just, you know, boilerplate text that goes in there based on what was known. And our task, as I understand it, is to go through that and make sure that we agree on what is there and what isn't there. Any questions so far? Somebody please have a question. No questions. Oh, God. Okay. Konstantinos, do you have anything to say at this point?
No, I really do not have anything to say. The only thing I would like to add, because I saw, I mean, there was very little traffic in the mailing list, but there have some people, there has been one email, I remember, that sort of tried to question some sentences within this template. This is a template that has been, I mean, and I would like to reiterate basically what Michele has just said. This is a template that has been used in various working groups, and a lot of the various questions and a lot of the various things that we need to fill out are more or less the same as in other working groups. So I think that, as far as I'm concerned, I think that we can have this working group charter ready for Costa Rica, I think that we can manage that in a timely manner, and mainly via emails. And the only thing that I would also add is that me and Michele have discussed as chairs, and we've sent it to Marika, the mission and scope of this charter, and I think that this is where we need to start having our discussions now. Thanks.
Thanks, Konstantinos. Konstantinos sums things up much better than I do. Thank you. Sorry, I have to bear with me, people. I just got out of the car. I just drove halfway across Ireland. Actually, I drove the entire width of the country, now that I think about it. Okay, so let's have a look. The mission and scope in this, please note this is just draft, and if people have issues with it, you know, that's what we're here to discuss. Okay, so the policy development process, PDP Working Group, WG, is tasked to address the issue of locking of a domain name subject to Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy, UDRP, proceedings as outlined in the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, IRTP, Part B Final Report, as well as the Final Issue Report on the current state of the UDRP. God, that's a long sentence. The PDP Working Group should, as a first step, request public input on this issue in order to have a clear understanding of the exact nature and scope of issues encountered with the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. Any problems with this so far? I'll take silence to mean there isn't.
No problem.
No.
Okay.
Clear.
Okay. If anybody has anything, please interrupt me, because I can talk for hours. Remember, I am Irish. Based on this information and any additional information gathering the working group deems necessary, the PDP Working Group is expected to make recommendations to the GNSO Council to address the issues identified with the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. As outlined in the PDP manual, such recommendations may take different forms, including, for example, recommendations for consensus policies, best practices, and/or implementation guidelines. The PDPWG is required to follow the steps and processes as outlined in Annex A of the ICANN bylaws and the PDP manual. It should also be noted that if the WG proposes any recommendations on the issue of locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings, we really do need an acronym, which are considered consensus policy recommendations, these should not amend, change, or otherwise alter the UDRP or its substantive parts, as any recommendations developed by the EWG are not meant to introduce a new UDRP remedy. Any feedback, anybody? Joy, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate my support for that particular provision, albeit that we may be able to craft that that sentence more elegantly, no disrespect to the drafters, mainly because, you know, I'm aware that the GNSO Council has recently approved a motion to consider aspects of the UDRP within 18 months of the launch of new GTLDs. And I think it's quite important that any other policy development processes which touch on aspects of UDRP procedures can be calibrated if need be, or cross-referenced across that time period. So I was pleased to see that reference in there in principle, but also very happy to take advice from wiser heads as to whether that's, you know, crafted in quite the right way to achieve that objective.
Okay, thanks. Anybody else have any other comments on this? Victoria? And then Randy.
Yes, I was just wondering, it's just a thought, I don't have firm views on it, but I just raised the question in case other people have thoughts as well. Because it's recommended that public input's requested and then recommendations are based on that plus other information. I mean, I was just wondering if that might be softened or there might be a reference included that the group's own views would be relevant, because otherwise it might look like it's sort of a reporting exercise when I'm sure that that's not the intention. Just a thought, it's not crucial.
Well, just to reply to that specifically, generally the way PDPs work, I mean, it's part of the way ICANN policy development process, the ICANN policy development process works, is that a group of people, could be you, could be me, could be anybody, comes together to discuss a particular policy issue. It could be a big issue, it could be a small issue, it could be something that only five people actually care enough about to actually turn up for the meetings. But the key thing is that as ICANN is a bottom-up organization, that the working group should ask the broader ICANN community for input, so that it's not just a case of the five or six people or more or less or whatever involved in the working group who are actually doing this. I mean, that doesn't mean that whoever works in this working group afterwards doesn't have input. I mean, far from it. But it's part of the overall process that you get feedback from the community. I think, you know, Ken has been on several of these. He might be able to speak to that, or Paul, or Konstantinos. And if somebody wants to correct me, please do. That's my understanding of how it works.
That's my understanding as well, Michele.
I'm not totally insane, just mildly insane. Perfect. Is that okay?
Could I just address that? I mean, I understand that, of course, I mean, I think there's already been an information gathering process. I think the main UDRP providers have already been asked, there's been questionnaires, and I understand that there will, you know, I'm not in any way suggesting that that process shouldn't happen, but just to soften the language so that not to limit the work of the group to only sort of passing on those views rather than generating other ideas and what have you. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
Okay.
And I know it will go out to public comment again, obviously, once the group's reported back and there's policy proposals. So yeah, I do, of course, understand what, you know, your very good point about the need to get bottom-up ideas, but I wouldn't like to overly restrict the creativity of the group just because I wouldn't want them to feel it because it hadn't been in their outreach, they hadn't had a suggestion that they couldn't put their own forward. And I would hope that perhaps that's not necessary, but there was just a softening of the language in that direction that I was really suggesting.
Well, what I would suggest then is if you can suggest alternative wording, then you know if we can discuss that. If you want to put that to the mailing list with alternative wording that you feel achieves that.
Well, I can just give you three. I think three words would achieve it. If I can do it that way, in the sentence that begins, hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sixth line down, based on this information, and perhaps we could add its own views. And.
Okay. I'm just taking a note of that.
And Michaela, this is Julie. I have the document open separately, and I'm noting this in red line, so I can send around a red line version afterwards.
Perfect. Thank you, because I don't have the original document open.
That's what I'm here for, Michaela.
Thank you, Julie. You rock, as always. You have to be nice to ICANN staff. They work completely ridiculous hours on this.
I totally love it. It's wonderful.
Okay, anything else on that, Julie? Victoria?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. Randy?
Hi there. I was just noticing that the working group charter that's presented on the Adobe screen now isn't the version which was just sent over by Marika. She added on February 1st a few specific items in this Section 2, Mission, Purpose, and Deliverables.
Okay. This is Julie. Thanks for raising that, Randy. I didn't catch that there was a latest version, and I'm not on the list, so it may be that she didn't realize that I didn't have it. Glenn, could you possibly forward that to me? And in this period while we're talking here, I'll bring up the latest version.
Okay, it was.
I'll do that, Julie.
Thanks so much. Sorry about that, folks.
February 1st. It's February. Yeah, February 1st she sent it.
Nicely spotted. My excuse is that I've just driven halfway across the country.
I mean, I could copy and paste the section Marika added if there's a way to do that on Adobe.
No, that's all right. Randy, this is Julie. I'll get the most recent version from Glenn, and it'll just take a moment to save it into PDF and pop it in the window.
Oh, sure. Okay, thanks.
No problem.
And Victoria, is that a new hand or an old hand?
It's an old hand. I'm sorry. Let me take it down.
That's okay. Just coming back to one of the other points somebody raised about the narrowness of this, and it's a very valid point. Now, bearing in mind, of course, that this is a draft document, and some of the wording here, it could be improved on. I'm not the best person in the world for writing these kind of things. Konstantinos is probably slightly better, and I know Marika is very good at it. But if people have suggestions for tweaking the wording, that's basically what our role is here, is to make sure that the wording is tweaked in such a way that it fits the scope of what we're asked to do. Konstantinos? Oh, no, sorry, Victoria again. Go ahead.
Sorry. on that basis, I just had one other suggestion or a thought that I just opened for discussion. I noticed at the end, I don't know if there's been a discussion in the last meeting about this or where this has come from, but it would be quite useful for me to have some background from someone on the call if they know a little bit more about the history of this. But I note that it says that the work the policy that arrives out of the working group shouldn't have any substantive impact on the UDRP or its substantive parts, it's not meant to introduce a new UDRP remedy. I mean, I'm wondering I just would be interested to know if anyone could just talk to that generally, because the question that arises for me is it's talking about its substantive provisions. But there are a lot of procedural issues in the UDRP, and obviously, this may be a new rule for registrars that's arrived at. But is there a need to somehow ring fence other UDRP procedures in some way? Or I just don't know what's gone on about this before and where that language has come from and, you know, what the background is to it. And I'd be very grateful for some kind of overview.
Well, okay, I can try to give you a kind of non-lawyer kind of fairly plain speaking understanding of where some of this comes from, and I'm sure there's plenty of people on the call who might be able to get into more detail on this. I mean, the basic thing is that going back, how long ago? Must be nearly a year at this stage. There was a lot of discussion about potential reform, revision, changes, call it what you will, around the UDRP. Now, ultimately, the GNSO voted that there would be no revision, changes, or anything substantive made until, was it the 18 months after the launch of new TLDs. Whether you like it, whatever you feel about that, that's the decision. However, a thing that several people felt quite strongly about, both registrars and others, was that it was something that came up in IRTP-B, which is the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, Part B, which I was the chair of, is that there's certain things around the locking or maintenance of status quos, allowing registrants to change domains, to transfer them, et cetera, in around the when a UDRP kicks off, that wasn't very clear. So, like on our last call, for example, some people, I think, mentioned, you know, that they had problems. They'd start a UDRP over a particular domain name, and by the time it had started, the domain would already have moved between registrars. And, you know, there was a lot of grey areas. Now, from speaking as a registrar, all I've ever wanted from this particular thing was clarity, so that I don't end up falling foul of ICANN's compliance team or anything like that. Konstantinos can probably speak to this more eloquently, since this is his chosen area of expertise. Konstantinos, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mikhail. I'm not sure whether I can speak more eloquently about that. Basically, the registrar community was feeling quite vulnerable because of the issues that Michele very clearly identified. As soon as the UDRP procedure was kicking in, a lot of cyber squatters were moving around their domain name registrations, were transferring their domain registrations across various registrars. And that's part of the inter-registrar transfer policy that the registrar community was discussing with the ICANN community. One of the issues that was brought forward was about this very issue, that they feel extremely vulnerable because they really do not know, because they feel that some cyber squatters are gaming the system. Now, I think that the great difficulty with the working group that will be formed, and I think that to a certain extent we are also facing a difficulty, is how the recommendations that will come out of the working group and the charter that we will draft, the boundaries of the charter will fit within the UDRP, especially given the fact that the GNSO has already committed in starting the review of the UDRP 18 months after the launch. So, but I don't think that anyone has a question right now. The fact is that we have an issue before us that it came out of an official report that was deliberated by the stakeholders of the ICANN community. And as long as we're very clear that this, for example, I am thinking, and I'm also very confused as to how this whole thing will fit with the review of the UDRP. And I think that what this group can do is and the next working group that will be formed is committed to the fact that this does not change the UDRP, and when the UDRP review kicks in, then this issue will be revisited and it will be part of this overall idea of fixing or not fixing, you can say it whatever you, whichever way you want, the UDRP and addressing many of its issues. I hope this clarifies things, Victoria. I think I am more confused now, but anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. Can I just make a comment in response?
Oh, please do. Please do.
Yeah. Okay. Just to ask the next question on, that's very helpful, and thank you so much. I really appreciate the background from people who have it. Where is it anticipated that the recommendations might end up if they're not going to go into the? I mean, just I'm just curious to know.
IRTC.
I see.
The short answer. If you, I'll just give you. I'm going to paste a link into the chat. Just bear with me one second, since I'm here. Oops. The IRTP, which is the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy, basically governs. It's the policy for the movement of domain names between registrars. So if you have, for example, a domain name registered with GoDaddy and you want to move it to Network Solutions, the policy governs at what time that domain can be moved. It covers the certain parts of the process. And it also includes references to when a domain transfer cannot happen. And it would be, kind of broadly speaking, it's into that that any recommendations coming out the far end would fit, because you can't make any recommendations that would impact the UDRP. Konstantinos.
Thank you, Michele. Just a point that I forgot to clarify. We really need to look at this working group's task, you know, the locking of the domain names from the registrar point of view. This will not introduce a new remedy to the UDRP. It's more for the registrars that they really need to know what they have to do when a UDRP action kicks in. That doesn't mean that as soon as the recommendations, whichever way they go, come out, that suddenly the UDRP will have an additional remedy to transfer or cancellation of the domain name. There's not going to be transfer, cancellation, or lock. The recommendations will work for the registrars purely. They will ensure that they comply and they are not exposed to potential lawsuits, to potential de-accreditation, and all those issues that right now they might be facing in light of the fact that cyber squatters are just moving around as soon as a UDRP kicks in. Thank you very much.
And just adding to that, it's not just a case of when a UDRP starts, it's also when a UDRP ends, because there's two sides to it. I mean, not all UDRPs are going to be valid or deemed to be valid, let's just say. As things stand at present, there's a lack of clarity about at which stages during the entire process, from beginning through to the very end, at which so let's say, for argument's sake, that I have a domain name that you feel infringes your trademark. So I'll pick on Konstantinos. Why not? So Konstantinos lodges a UDRP. The registrar of record has an obligation to maintain the status quo, because as far as I know, as Konstantinos said in the last call, there is no actual mention of locks, I think, in the actual UDRP itself. And that's fine, and you know, the UDRP goes through its process, and at the end of whatever period is involved, the registrar should remove the lock, or should remove any restrictions, let's just say, to avoid using the word lock, remove any restrictions on changes to that domain name. The problem, of course, is when. I mean, at what point? At what point is the registrar obliged to do it? At what point, is the registrar in violation of other parts of policy by maintaining a lock of some kind on the domain? at the moment, as a I'm speaking as a registrar who does not have a legal staff of 20 or 30 people working for me, this is actually quite worrying, quite scary. And there are other registrars on this call or people who've worked for registrars in the past who may or may not wish to speak to this, but that's the kind of area that registrars are looking for clarity, and for those people who would be representing companies that are using UDRP to, you know, get back domain names and everything else, it would help, you know, provide clarity for them as well. Is that kind of helpful to people?
Very, thank you.
Any other questions at this juncture?
I have one other question.
Go ahead. Ask.
Thank you. I was trying to do some background reading, and I didn't get very far, but I looked at the final issue report on the current state of the UDRP, which I think is referred to in the materials, and I could see that there was an issue also in the same sort of context where the... This is coming up in the responses, I think, from some of the UDRP providers about who is the privacy shields being lifted and the issues that were arising from the lock. And I'm just wondering, is there a crossover here? Is that going to arise or not? The question, okay, I'm looking at the question. It might help if I just explain it. On page 55 and page 85 of the report, one of the, it said that, this is the NAF report, they'd had comments on the locking. But one of the questions was, do you have situations involving proceedings where updates to the WHOIS records, either after the filing of the complaint, before the commencement, or prior to or during the course of proceedings, have raised concerns or problems, and it said, we do not track this, it's our biggest challenge. Until we've received word that a domain name is locked, the WHOIS information is subject to change. Okay, so I'm just wondering if we got an issue, I was just sort of wondering whether or not, because we're looking at scoping issues, I suppose arising out of the last question, you know, do some of these issues impact, I guess my bigger point is, do some of these issues impact the relationship between with the registrant? I mean, is it really a matter that's just appropriate inter-registrar in the IRTP, or will some of the issues possibly impact relationships between registrars and registrants?
Does anybody else wish to speak to this, Konstantinos?
Thanks, Michele. That's a brilliant point, Victoria, and I think that it might. But at this stage, I think that it would be the work of the working group working on the recommendations that will need to ensure that this doesn't happen, that basically registrants... the registrant's rights, the registrant privacy rights, the registrant's free speech rights, and all those issues that are very important are not being subjected in the name of the locking, for example, just on so that we can protect registrars. Remember that this group is tasked only to draft the charter. The recommendations will come from the working group that will be formed as soon as the charter goes to the GNSO and the GNSO votes for it. Then ICANN will issue a call for a working group to be created that will be able to basically provide the specific recommendations. And of course, nothing prevents the people participating in this group to also participate in the working group that will work on the substantive issues. But I think that you raise a very valid point. But I'm not sure that it fits within this working group, and it's something that certainly I feel very, concerned about how this will impact. But this is something that falls outside the scope of this group. Joy wants to speak, so I'll pass the floor to Joy. Thanks.
Thanks, Konstantinos, and Victoria, for raising this point. I think it's actually a critical one because the working group, the recommendations in relation to the inter-registrar transfer policy do propose amendments to the contracts, the contract as between registrars and registrants. And so, of course, anything which amends that contract is a matter for registrants. And my response, I suppose, to your question, which is that I think the second sentence in the proposed mission and scope may be the place to capture those sorts of issues because it refers to the PDP requesting public input in order to have a clear understanding, quote, of the exact nature and scope of issues encountered with, and so on. And I would anticipate that in terms of the nature and scope of issues, one of those will be the way in which any suspension of the ability to transfer or otherwise deal with the domain name will include the sorts of issues that you've raised for registrants and possibly some others. And I suspect also some specific issues for registrars, which you know, they need more time and space to explore and discuss. Thank you.
Konstantinos?
Thanks, Joy. Thank you, Michaela. That's exactly what I was trying to say, and I think you said it much better, that we are here creating the charter, and the second sentence makes it very clear, and I would like to urge all these people participating in this call and in this group drafting the charter that they submit public comments and they raise those issues, because these are the issues that the subsequent group is going to have to tackle and is going to have to deal with, and unless they're raised, it becomes more difficult for them to actually review them and try to come up with recommendations that take this on board. Thank you. Michaela?
Yeah, let me just speaking to that, I mean, a bit more. I mean, these are all things that, you know, the working group that gets this charter will need to know. This is why, you know, the entire public comment thing is so key to it. I mean, having worked over the last couple of years, I'm not too sure why I do this to myself, but I still do it. I've been on several working groups, and, you know, you've got feedback from different stakeholder groups, or at least you hope you have feedback from different stakeholder groups, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And then sometimes the public comments are fantastic and helpful, and other times it's like deathly silence. So, you know, a working group will, you know, cannot operate in a vacuum, and it needs to get feedback from different parts of the wider community. So I think that's, you know, it's a very key part of the process, and it's, you know, whether a particular issue that somebody might raise ends up being, you know, having a direct and tangible influence on the recommendations that come out the far end. The only way that can happen is if somebody actually makes that comment. You know, the members of a working group can share their thoughts, they can share their views, but, you know, they may not think of something. They're only human. Victoria?
Sorry. I suppose that, I guess it's standard practice. Is it standard practice to have a charter group and then a working group separately? And I'm curious just to understand fully where we get our constraints from. If you're in the working group, you tend to want a free hand to take a good look at the problem and the issues, right? So I'm just wondering, does this group have some constraints from somewhere? I mean, I'd just like to identify them.
The main constraint is the one in the last sentence, basically, that it's narrow. The working group that will come out of it, that will work. Try that again coherently. The working group that will have this charter is they're limited in that they cannot trigger UDRP reform or make any big changes to UDRP, or as I think it says there, introduce a new UDRP remedy. That doesn't mean that a working group could not say, right, you know, these are our recommendations about these specific issues that we've been asked to address. You know, as part of our deliberations, we've noticed, you know, the following things that we think are important, and when there is a UDRP review, you know, further down the road, we would ask that they be considered then. So, you know, you as a working group on, say, IRTP, just using my own pet example, we were tasked in IRTPB to look at a certain range of questions. And, of course, because everything's interconnected, so, and in answering some of those questions, or at least trying to answer some of those questions, we realized that there were other issues that were outside our scope, but we felt strongly somebody should look at some point. Does that kind of help answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I guess that what is interesting coming out of that is that, I mean, I don't suppose we have in this language, but is it appropriate to have for us to have decided that any change will end up in the IRTP? Because are we preempting the work of the group? Is there any reason to limit what they can and can't recommend? I mean, other than this UDRP limit, which has come from elsewhere. But over and above, I mean, anyway, I just raised that question.
Konstantinos, I'll pick on you.
Sorry. I was on mute. I think that we are getting a little bit confused here. This group has to follow the GNSO. Hold on, I'm just trying to pull up the document. This group is meant to assist in the preparation of a working group charter that meets the requirements that the GNSO had set forth, which are the working group guidelines. So when you were speaking, yes, The process right now is that first there is a working group coming up with a charter, which is submitted to the GNSO. The GNSO votes on that charter, on that very charter, and then if the charter acquires the appropriate consensus, the necessary consensus, then a new group is formed in order to deliberate on the substantive issues. So if you want, I understood Victoria's questions a little bit differently. If, for example, you know, whether we have any constraints. We don't have any direct constraints. The only constraint is that we need to focus only on the charter. Basically, we need to describe what the working group that will be formed after the GNSO approves this charter will be tasked with. And that's why it's very important to include in the mission of this charter issues that we feel, A, do not fall within the scope of the locking of the domain name procedures, B, they fall completely outside the IRTP Part B, or C, they seek to amend the UDRP or things like that. So all the issues of, my understanding is, and I think that the ICANN staff can correct me if I'm wrong here, my understanding is that this group is only tasked to provide the charter. We can constrain the work of the working group that will be created, but substantively, we cannot say, you know, this is how the lock should be done or this is how the lock should not be done. We are meant to provide guidance, if you want, as to the exact boundaries that the working group that will be formed will have.
Thank you, Constantine. It's very helpful. Could I just ask a question coming out of it? Because it just seems to me that without having the information about this, you know, we've got very little information and very little background reading or anything. So I'm just wondering how we really can or should, maybe we should take a generous view on scope given, I mean, certainly from my own reading, I've been able to come up with very little information that would enable me to put boundaries around this topic appropriately. But then it may well be I haven't read what I ought to read, or just don't have the, or other people have more depth of knowledge. So anyway, I know I've said enough on this call, so I will just leave that as my comment.
Sorry to be jumping in before we go to Lisa, who has raised her hand, and I apologize to Lisa. Victoria, please send those comments on an email. It doesn't really matter whether, you know, you've read more or less material at this stage. It is very important that we get as many comments as we can on the mailing list that has been created for that in order to be able and discuss those comments and, with the help of the ICANN staff, incorporate some of them, depending on the views of everybody in this working group, in the charter. So I would encourage you, Victoria, and everybody else who is in exactly the same position to start submitting comments in the mailing list so we can start actually having the discussions. And I pass the floor to Lisa, and I apologize once again.
No worries, Constantine. And actually, Victoria, thank you for asking the questions. I appreciate having some of this stuff raised. My suggestion on a slightly different topic would be, is it appropriate here, in addition to having the working group identify issues, to having them suggest definitions or standards or best practices? A lot of the language is obviously very loose, and, you know, is this an appropriate part of the mission or scope?
Sorry, Lisa. Sorry, Mikhail. I'm jumping again. What do you mean by best practice? Can you give me an example? I mean, best practices, you know, in relation to the group that will be formed, for example.
So the working group, you know, one, as an example, Michaela said, you know, the UDRP uses very loose language. It never uses the word locking. It says the registrar is going to maintain the status quo. You know, would it be appropriate for the working group to say, what is a safe harbor here for a registrar? What do we all agree? If the registrar does these sets of things, this is maintaining the status quo, you know, sort of, you know, to be suggesting those things in addition that would go into the IRT policy.
This is Konstantinos. My understanding is that this is not the job of this working group. This is the job of the working group that will be formed after the charter has been approved.
Okay.
But I might be wrong. I mean, that's my understanding, and that's why I'm saying that the people that are participating in this call, and they have those very substantive concerns, it is very important, especially since you've participated here, to also participate in the other working group and, of course, raise all these issues as part of the public input that will be requested. But my understanding is, Lisa, that this is something that the second working group, if you want, will have to deal with. And
just cutting across to you, Konstantinos, if you don't mind. Lisa, the short answer is it's out of scope.
Just to be very clear here, Michaela and Konstantinos, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying we should set those standards. I'm saying, should we have something in the mission and scope that puts to make that within the scope of the working group that's coming,
It's already there. It's already there. If you look at the way it's worded is that the general concept of the work of a working group is for it to come up with recommendations. So the recommendations would be to, I don't know what that minus means. I don't know if that Paul disagreeing with us violently or as he walked away. It would be for the working group that will take this charter comes up with its recommendations. So if its recommendations are, they could be, for example, to offer clarity, or they could be to reword parts of a policy. So what Konstantinos was saying, I think, I can't speak for Konstantinos, but I can try and interpret what he's saying, is, you know, that it's the other working group that would, you know, deal with the actual meat of it. I wouldn't see it as being our role to say that, you know, that they have to come up with wording. Now, if you wanted to say something, I don't know, let's say, if you want to change the wording here to say that this could include something, but we can't say this must include or this should include. particular, you know, modification to wording or whatever.
Right. I understand that. My thought was just to put it within the scope of the working group.
Okay. Because I think it would be, because I would view it as being in the scope already.
Okay.
Unless I'm missing something.
No. Well, when I was looking at...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was saying, when I was looking at the language, it's sort of what I'm seeing is identifying issues, not necessarily, and maybe this is just, you know, I'm reading it in a very narrow way, but, you know, just identifying issues, not necessarily offering...
Okay, if you look at these, if you look down through it, okay, blah, 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 blah. Based on this information and any additional information gathering the working group deems necessary, the PDP working group is expected to make recommendations to the GNSO Council to address the issues identified with the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings. I mean, if you were to, I don't know, try and compress that sentence a little bit, you know, based on their work, which includes information gathering, et cetera, the working group is expected to make recommendations to the GNSO Council to address the issues.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a look at the way that's worded and you think it might need rewording or rejigging or something that helps make it clearer, please, you know, do so. Because, I mean, I think the problem for somebody like me or even for Konstantinos is we read so many of these Iconese documents that they probably make sense to us at this stage, but they probably don't make sense to anybody else. So you're probably not the only person who doesn't understand what they're trying to say with it. So if you want
That's
to send
fine.
To the mailing list, send to the mailing list that maybe suggested alternative wording, please, please do.
Thanks, I will.
Okay, we're running short on time here. Is that an old hand or a new hand, Lisa?
Oh, no, that's an old hand.
Okay. We're coming up towards the end of the hour. Are there any other issues that anybody has at this stage, or any questions or anything else anybody wants to raise now on this call? Deathly silence. Okay. If people take the most recent version of the document, Julie, would you be able to circulate a red line version with a couple of suggestions people have made?
Right. Actually, the only hard suggestion that I caught was the one that Victoria McEvity had made earlier. I thought was in the mission scope, which I captured. There were several comments around the text, but I didn't see specific recommendations for changes to the text unless I missed them. But what I will do is send what I think is the latest version to the list and then encourage everyone to pile on their changes, and I'll be happy to compile those into another new version.
Perfect. So, I mean, you know, take the document that the next version is going to be circulated, and, you know, feel free to rip it to shreds, you know, make comments. If something's not clear, then, you know, ask. You know, maybe it needs to be clarified. Maybe the wording does need to be tweaked. Konstantinos, do you have any closing remarks?
Not really. The only thing that I would say is I will just reemphasize what you've just said, Michele. Please do this. For the past 2 weeks, we've been quite silent, but please do send the emails and all these discussions, because they are much, I think that it's easier also for the drafting people and the ICANN staff when we have those concrete texts to actually put them in context and determine whether it falls within the scope or not. And actually, following Joy's recommendation on the Adobe Connect chat, I would really like to ask all the participants who come from the registrar group to provide us with information and to provide us with their experience and even possibly, you know, tell us exactly what it is that we're dealing, because we are not there, we don't see it, and this group was created to address an issue that you guys feel, the registrars feel that needs to be addressed.
Okay, thanks, Konstantinos. So, when will we have another meeting? In terms of timelines, we're pushing to get this done in time for Costa Rica. So what's the document deadline on that, Julie? Julie?
Oh. Sorry, I was on mute. That's not very useful. Sorry. But to be considered at the GNSO Council meeting in Costa Rica, I believe that it has to be available to them by the week before. Is that correct, Glenn, by that Wednesday, I mean Tuesday,
yes,
the week before?
Yes.
Anyway, I'll confirm that and send that around in my note as well, just so we have it all as part of our timeline.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry, Michele, can I ask something very quickly? Don't we also need to identify a liaison with the GNSO? I think that was one of the tasks that we were supposed to do.
No, I don't think we are.
It's not? Okay, sorry, then. Okay.
Because the liaison would normally be probably like a member of the actual working group. Or do you mean the liaison for this working group?
For this working group.
Oh, sorry. Good question. Do we need a liaison for this working group, Julie?
We will need, if there's a motion that we want to have go along with the charter, which I and staff can certainly draft, we will need someone from the council to be able to make that motion. So in that respect, it would be useful to have a liaison. I don't know that that person necessarily has to be involved in this drafting team. Let me confirm that with Marika. I think it's simply a matter of identifying somebody when we're ready to submit this to the council and who should do that.
Okay, so it's okay. So we need somebody, but we can all grab one and grab one somewhere along the way.
Right, and, we'll, and as staff, we can help with that. We'll just, you know, ask someone, and I'm sure someone will do it.
We've all got at least one or two councillors from our chartering organization.
Exactly. Anyway. So, you know, we'll just see who's willing and go for there.
This Konstantinos again, you know, sorry, but for example, a possibility would be Joy, since she's participating in this group and she's also a GNSO counselor. This is something to think. I'm sure Joy will hate me for suggesting her to have something else on top of her very busy schedule, but this is an option, I think, that, you know, it's a possibility.
Konstantinos, thank you so much for pointing that out. I had forgotten that Joy was on the council.
And I didn't even know that.
And she says she's happy to consider this as other priorities allow.
Okay, perfect. In terms of a next meeting, is in 2 weeks' time okay for people? Well, we can,
sure.
We
can have another doodle, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, if we can work more on the mailing list between time zones and everything else. I mean, I know that Laurie's in one time is kind of way over one side, and I know there's, judging by other things, I know there's other people way over the other side. Mailing lists are probably better overall, but also, of course, these meetings are pretty kind of important too. So let's provisionally say for in 2 weeks' time, at the same time, on the same day, and if we need to move it, we can. So any other business? Any other issues? Okay, in that case, meeting adjourned then. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michele. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.